Special welcome to Marunda, should be joining us now. And yeah, come on, let's give a good shout out for Marunda. When I was with you last week, someone there said, are you ever going to come here and preach? And I'm preaching with you today online. And also, of course, Southeastern Brighton, just great to be together. And for those who are worshipping online, wherever you are around the world, it's just fantastic to be together. I'm bringing home the Core Strength series today. I'm opening a new series next week. I'm going to kind of blur and bridge between those two series. But you know, just last weekend, because it was our Easter weekend last weekend, a big Easter outreach, we had 21 people give us their names and details, telling us they'd put their trust in Jesus Christ for the first time physically, and another 14 people online. So come on, let's give a big shout out for those who've just put their trust in Jesus. And across the different campuses, it was 25 or 26 people got baptized last weekend. So it was just a really wonderful weekend of celebration. And if you didn't get to see any of it, it's all available. You should have a look at it online. In the opening chapters of Genesis, we get this refrain about walking with God. We read about it with regard to Enoch. Genesis 5, 24, Enoch walked... Oh, if it's in yellow and bold, please join me. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And because everyone else in that passage, it would say how long they lived and then they died. But Enoch, we've got this really unusual turn of phrase. He just walked with God, like, all the way into eternity, it would seem. Yeah. He walked with God, and then he was not anymore. He just kept going with God. We get the same sort of language put around Noah in Genesis 6, 9. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Now, this walking with God metaphor is something that's real for every one of us. You too can walk with God. In fact, I dare believe that God walks through our neighborhoods. He walks into your workplace or your home. Indeed, he walks in the context of the inner sanctums of our life. And if only it was true that we perpetually joined God where he was walking, that we walked with God in all those different places. But of course, none of us do that perfectly. We would aspire to perpetually walk with God. But it's very true for many of us, the sort of language that was put around Adam and Eve, where it says, when the cool of the evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, and so they joined him. No, they didn't. And that's real for so many of us, possibly for each and every one of us at different times, where we're just not on our A game as far as our sense of surrender or sensitivity. And so we don't always walk with God. And so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. So rather than walking with God, they chose to do a runner. Now, the domain I want to therefore go into today is this whole domain of our rhythms and our rituals with God. When we talk about rhythms and rituals, we get this sense of the when, and we get this sense of what. Now, if I quoted from the scripture and said, Jesus said this, he said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy, and my load is light. You'd recognize it like that, yes? Most of you. Here it is, those same verses from the Message paraphrase, where it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out in religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll live freely and lightly. From Matthew chapter 11. So this whole idea of rhythms, that is when we do certain activities, and our rituals, that is what we do in that rhythmic pattern. We can see rhythms and rituals in the scriptures. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, we can get a little kind of snapshot into Daniel's rhythms and rituals, because a law was passed that people weren't to pray to anyone apart from the king. And so this passage says, when Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. There's his rhythm. Knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. There's rhythm, giving thanks to his God. So rhythms are our when. For Daniel, he prayed three times a day. Now, there is evidence that the early church held on to that three times a day rhythm, which was typical of Judaism. And so much of the early Christian faith, it was born out of Judaism, and a lot of those types of rituals did carry over. So we get this type of language from Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. So there was these timings that they would go and be part of. Or we read about in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, when Peter was on the roof in Joppa. Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was about noon. So we get these morning, midday, and evening type activities. For the Apostle Paul, with his missionary activities, one day as we were going down to the place of prayer. He's not even in Israel anymore. By that stage, he's out in the diaspora. But he knew the Jews would gather at certain times to pray. They had a rhythm. So he actually used it missiologically, because he knew this is when the Jews would be clustered together at certain times. And there was even a place that they would go. So there'd be a place of prayer. Now, as Craig Rochelle, a pretty well-known international pastor and author and leader, he said, successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. It's a very insightful quote, that one. The standardization of certain rhythms and certain rituals into our life that can really strengthen and bless us. So our rituals are then our what. It's kind of what we do. So with Daniel, he went to his home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. So he had a time and a place. He opened the windows toward Jerusalem. He gave thanks to his God. So there was some ritual in his rhythm. That's what I'd like you to notice. Now, Duke University released a research paper saying that we do about 40% of our life on autopilot, just on habit. Like, honestly, how many of you can really remember the details of driving to church today? Those who drove. Like, you made it, but so much of that is automated. How about your getting out of bed rituals and routines? And for some of you, it'll be to do with making a cup of coffee. For some, it'll be walking straight to the shower. And, you know, kind of whatever your rhythms and patterns. We all have rhythms and patterns at the end of our day as well, like our coming home and our getting ready for bed. There's a lot of rhythm and ritual and routine that we all integrate into our lives. So it's therefore worth us pausing and thinking about the development of rhythms and rituals that are healthy, that actually will bless our life, that would build us as individuals, make us into the sort of people that God's wanting to make us to be. Now, if you're going to get some sort of rhythm, you've actually got to go through the hard yards of routines. Going to start something new. This one piece right here is the great challenge for humanity, because routines are uncomfortable. They require thought and effort. Routines require setting an alarm or a reminder that to kind of get something into the rhythm and ritual zone, we have to trade our way through a rather painful routine zone. I came out of 2022 really dragging the chain. Workload was high. Believe I'm called by God to do what I do, so my sense of calling was very real. Opportunity is expansive. Working hard. But I could I could sense inside my person that I was on the well-being descent. I was resting, certainly on my day off. I'd take a good day off and have a chance to rest, and I could even lie on the couch and watch the footy. Who doesn't like watching the footy on the couch when St Kilda are undefeated? It is just like, let's just stop the season now and call St Kilda the premiers. 150 years, one premiership. Like, God have mercy on us. You've got to be very long-suffering to be a St Kilda supporter. And so resting, I was resting, but I could tell I was not being restored. And so I had this sense that I'm going to have to change some stuff up. And I could see Christmas Day coming, and I had a good backlog of annual leave, and I took 4 weeks of annual leave from Christmas Day, but I dragged the chain to Christmas Day. But I knew in my heart of hearts, I have to change some stuff up. I need to introduce some routines. And I know we're all created very differently. I'm a morning guy. I wake up early and I wake up bright. I'm a morning person. So I decided I needed to integrate some routines into my morning that would be more restorative. So over that holiday period, each morning before breakfast, I'd make sure I walked a minimum of 10,000 steps before breakfast. I'd get up and I'd walk. But it wasn't just about walking. I would habit stack. And part of my habit was, I'm still doing it now, did it this morning. I put out, and so the night before, I put out all my walking gear the night before. So it's already there for me. I now put it in the lounge room, trying not to wake up Edie. I'm pretty unsuccessful at that. But I always get my gear out the night before. And so then I get up, and when I wake, I know all I have to do is get my legs out of the bed. All I got to do. Everything automates after that, and I have it stack. Walk out to the lounge room, get my gear on. Frequently, it's still dark, not always. And my dogs will frequently come with me, not always. This morning they didn't because it was raining. So I start to walk. Now, once I head out the door, I will listen to Lectio 365. It's a Pete Greig thing. You can get the app. It's just brilliant. Morning and evening. Edie and I have certainly got that into our rhythms and our rituals, morning and evening. So I'll walk and I'll listen to that. That will position me into a certain space. When that finishes, I'll have a little bit of quiet time. My walking just becomes quite contemplative, meditative. It's just metronomic, just walking. And I'll think and I'll pray and I'll go into all services. Then I'll listen to my Bible. Now, Edie, my wife's rhythms and rituals, I've seen her literally thousands of times sitting in a chair in our lounge room with her Bible open, a cup of coffee, a notepad, and a pen. That's how Edie does it. I tried to copy her for many years, but to make me sit on a seat with a book open, even when it's the Bible, it was almost like I'd been naughty. Like I'm being punished. I've got to sit in a seat with the book open, all that sort of stuff. And so that works a treat for Edie. Didn't work very well for me at all. And you have to understand how God has made you. And for me, being able to walk connected me to God. When Edie and I lived on the Mornington Peninsula, I got invited for the last 4 years that I was there to bless the fleet at the Mornington Yacht Club. I'd never blessed a fleet in my life. But as a result of a relational connection, it was like, they hadn't done a fleet blessing for more than a decade. So they reached out to me, said, could you bless the fleet? I said, yes. Like, how do you bless a fleet? And I asked the commodore, he goes, oh, I've got no idea how you bless a fleet. I thought that was your business. I'm like, oh, that's all right. No, I can bless the fleet. I went online trying to figure out how to bless a fleet. There's not much information on blessing fleets online. I'm like, okay. I got about a 4-minute window with about 450 people, and the yacht club's a pretty secular crew, generally. And so here they were, it's the fleet blessing, and they're on their balcony and the deck, and they crowded out everywhere, and they gave him the microphone to bless the fleet. And I said to them, I don't know about you, but when I go out on the water, I feel near to God. And there was an audible affirmation. And I went, gotcha. I said, if we're going to go and play in God's pool, I think it's appropriate to ask for his blessing, don't you? Second audible affirmation. And so for me, getting out on the water or getting out and about, that actually really does help me to connect with God. So habit stacking, that getting my gear ready the night before, all I got to do is get my feet out of the bed. Once I got my feet out of the bed, autopilot, get dressed, walk out, listen to lecture, have some free time, listen to my scriptures, have some more free time. I listen to the news then. I like to listen to the news. I want to catch up with what's happening as well. And I can throw up more than 10,000 steps before breakfast. That simple habit stacking is the sort of thing anyone can do. Like some of you, you'll be in the car or in public transport for 30 minutes or an hour on your way to work morning and evening. You can habit stack because already your life has a rhythm and a ritual called getting into a car or getting into a train. And you can structure that up, and you're going to have to trade through the painful zone of routine, because routine is painful. But you can trade into the rhythm and ritual zone, which is done with little or no thought, because it's become automated. Rhythms and rituals become habits. How important, therefore, to build them in such a way that they build your life. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 55, verse 14, what good fellowship we once enjoyed, sat with me, as we walked together to the house of God. And the psalmist here was kind of reflecting back, probably written from exile, and remembered just how special it was. Some of those types of psalms became very real for me during the pandemic period, 2020, when the facility was closed for 10 months. And I was starting to realize how much I really appreciated contact with people, and that I was pretty much hating preaching on my back deck to a camera. And what good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. But we got locked in our homes long enough to lose our rhythm and our ritual of gathering collectively. And do you remember as things began to open up again? Now, for some, there was caution about being back in the room. For others, it was all about a new habit that had formed, which was church on demand. Don't even have to do it live, just on demand. Whenever I want to do it, and if I remember to do it, to kind of get there in the afternoon, and I can kind of watch it, or I could like sit in bed and do it like that, etc. But new habits were formed. Now, the writer of the Hebrews gives a really clear warning about this. Say it with me. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We must not do that. Now, let me say very sincerely to those who are joining us online, so you're not at Maroondah, Brighton or Southeast, you're purely with us online. If you have capacity, as in if you are near enough by, to get into the room, I strongly encourage you to go through the routine, to develop the ritual and the rhythm of actually gathering together with others. But some can't, and I completely understand that. There is nowhere near to you. In fact, because people gather from like 100 nations as part of the online campus that's being created, if there are enough people in one city, and this is starting to happen in Hong Kong, so there's a group of people right now in Hong Kong who are physically getting together, but Crossway has become their spiritual home. So we don't have a physical campus in Hong Kong, but there's a group of people who've actually come to know, they're first generation Christians. You've come to know Jesus like this, you're starting to physically gather together. And I know we've got some critical masses of people in the Philippines or Brazil or in different places. And just while I'm in that space and speaking to those of you who are online, we're seeking to make this a genuinely discipling ministry. where people can actually put their faith in Jesus. They can actually get baptized. Someone's about to get baptized from an online community in the near future. We can actually join life groups. You can do a Zoom-based life group wherever you are around the world, where you can serve, you can join the team, you can become a member of Crossway. All of those options exist there for you. Just reach out to Pastor Steve and say, I want to join the team. I want to step in. How do I become a member of Crossway, etc.? This is the congregation without walls. And it's a very, very important space. But if you can get into the room, get into the room. It's different in the room. And our rhythms and our rituals were certainly disrupted by the whole pandemic. Now, rhythms and rituals, healthy ones, should lead to restoration. They should actually rebuild something inside your soul. I want you to realize that rest and restoration are very distinct concepts. I can rest lying on the couch with a packet of Doritos watching St. Kilda beat Collingwood this afternoon. That would be resting. It would not be restorative. Restoration actually requires effort. You're going to have to put out energy to be restored. It's almost counterintuitive, especially when you're having that sense of feeling a little run down. I'm stressed, I'm tired, and all I want to do is lie on the couch. But actually what will restore you is actually going to require an outlaying of energy. We read about the Lord Jesus. He often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. I didn't give you a chance to join me there. Have you joined me with that? But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. That required an outlay of energy. That didn't come out of nowhere. Look at this from Luke 22, 39. Then accompanied by his disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. I want you to notice that as usual, part of Jesus rhythms and rituals had him going, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. Now, when he went there on this particular occasion, that was to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus had his rhythms and his rituals of prayer as well. And on that occasion, as the disciples repeatedly fell asleep, Jesus entered into the trauma and the passion of prayer, where he sweat like drips of blood and said to his Father, God, if there's any other way, is there a plan B? Please take this cup away from me. But not my will, your will be done. Now, here's what I want you to see. Someone pointed this out to me recently, and I'm like, oh, why did I never think of this before? Jesus, in the agony of prayer, is radically different briefly later from Jesus standing before the Roman guards and Judas Iscariot. Have you ever thought about that? I never had. So Jesus' rhythm and ritual of prayer took him to a place of agony, of pouring out of his heart, of absolute candor with God. And believe me, we all need, I think this in no small part, is why Jesus encouraged us to find our private place to pray. Go to your inner room where there's no longer any image management that's being done. There's no longer anyone listening to what you say. Just you and God. So you can pour your heart out. That is a very important part for me. I am safe with God. I want you to know you are safe with God and you can pour your heart out to Him. It's easier to do that without anyone else watching or listening. You'll never catch him by surprise by anything that you say. Absolute candor. And Jesus poured out his heart as disciples were falling asleep repeatedly. But Jesus stands up from that, and you will not get a greater example of someone who's centered, who's grounded, who knows who they are. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am He. And power went out from the scripture said, and some of them fell over. He is so composed, Peter, in all of his zeal, pulls out a sword, lops off the ear of the high priest's servant. It's funny. I, I cited that actually as part of the Good Friday talk or something I recorded just recently. And I said he lopped off the high priest's ear. No, the high priest kept both of his ears. It was the high priest's servant. So Peter lops off, and Jesus is so composed, he heals the man. And whether he's in front of Pilate, whether he's in front of the high priest, whether he goes through his incredible suffering of being flogged and being crucified, he's still making statements from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He looks at John and his mother Mary. John, here is your mother. Mary, here is your son. And even ultimately it says he gave up his spirit. It didn't simply say Jesus died. So much control, so centered. There had been such restorative activity that so that the Jesus in the agony of prayer at Gethsemane and the Jesus facing the guards who came to arrest him are very different. Same person, but very different. And what I want is I just want you to catch this. If you will build into your world healthy rhythms, the when, and rituals, the what, it will reposition your world, and there will be times where you pour out your heart in agony, but they will set you up for being so grounded and centered in God in your times of trial and challenge. Healthy rhythms and rituals are re-envisioning as well. I said to you earlier that I came out of the back of 22 and I could tell I was in descent. I started getting this haunting feeling and question, how long can I keep going at this pace? It wasn't a good feeling at all. My creativity was reduced. My capacity was reduced. I'd gained about 5 kilograms by resting. These different layers, but all of a sudden I had this haunting feeling. Now, can I say to you, by going through the hard yards of routine and establishing some fresh rhythms and rituals, the best way I can describe it to you, it was like, here's the best way I can describe it. It was like, I came back. Kind of the Dale I have known kind of got restored on the inside. And certainly that fresh envisioning and the sort of opportunities, like even from the last week, the sort of opportunities that God's opening up. I didn't say this at the other congregation, but let me give you an example. Just in the last week, having conversations with a production house who makes some video material for the YouVersion, which is used globally, and putting on the table an offer where they will come to us and record 6 8 to 12 minute video sessions on how to disciple a friend towards faith in Jesus that can be used on the YouVersion platform and for Crossroad have access to the global community. You just got to go, poof. Yeah, that's a big one. I would candidly say to you, I don't think God would have graced that opportunity for where I was at the back edge of 2022. So your rhythms and your rituals, not only are they restorative, but they are re-envisioning. They put us back together. Corrie Ten Boom wrote this, what wings are to a bird and sails are to a ship, so is prayer to the soul. So going back to that Craig Rochelle quote from earlier, successful people do consistently what average people do occasionally. How are your rhythms and rituals? As one who walks with God. Now, I think sometimes, in as much as the sort of domain of the Christian faith where we find ourselves placed, frequently people associate rhythms and rituals with religion and almost want to push away because we're in the freedom of relationship. But I just need to say to you, healthy rhythms and rituals will actually bless your relationship with God. It actually will build your relationship with God. So this is not a push in the direction of religion. This is a push in getting some system and structure in your walking with God. So Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. New Testament, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 says, those who are sons and daughters of God are led by the Holy Spirit. I wonder whether or not it could be written in that kind of eternal book, your name walked with God. I wonder whether it could be written, Dale walked with God. What are the rhythms and the rituals that need to be rekindled in your world? And let me say it to you as candidly as I can. You will have to do the hard yards of routine. It will begin with alarms being set, reminders on your phone. But I do want to remind you, all of us do have rhythm already integrated into our world. Find your zone and habit stack. When you get into the car to drive to work, habit stack. And say, when I start the engine, the first 10 minutes will be X. The next 10 minutes will be X. You got 60 minutes. The next 10 minutes, I'm going to find prayers of thanksgiving to God. The next 10 minutes, I'm going to have some Psalms. And it will be hard initially. But in as much as you've got to start that car engine each morning, Monday to Friday, for those of you who've got a job and you've got to drive to work, for those of you who get onto a public transport, for those of you when the kids have headed out, your partner's headed out, and you've got a quiet space at home, okay, once the door closes and I'm alone, here's what's going to happen. Habit stack. Get yourself set up. Get your cue and build into your world your rhythms and your rituals that are restorative, that are revisioning, and that will build your relationship with God. Could you please all stand? Maroon to Brighton, the Southeast, let's all stand. Let's soften our hearts before God right now. And Father in heaven, we invite you to move amongst us by your Holy Spirit. Those who are watching online, Father, move in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Father, none of us get this right all of the time. But there is an opportunity for each and every one of us. And Father, we get that sense that the invitation of your Holy Spirit today from your word has been, walk with me. Walk with me. Let's develop healthy rhythms and rituals that really do bless our relationship with God and build us as people. The God in heaven, we bless and praise your holy name for your invitation to us. We bless and praise your holy name for your incredible love that by your Spirit you invite us to take a step forward. Give us the grace, the courage, and the strength to own it. Forgive us our sins, Lord, and help us to step forward with you. We do want to be those who walk with the living God. So we bless and praise your name. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.